Welcome to the Clinician Researcher Podcast, where academic clinicians learn the skills to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. As clinicians, we spend a decade or more as trainees learning to take care of patients. When we finally start our careers, we want to build research programs, but then we find that our years of clinical training did not adequately prepare us to lead a research program. Through no fault of our own, we struggle to find mentors, and when we can't, we quit. However, clinicians hold the keys to the greatest research breakthroughs. For this reason, the Clinician Researcher Podcast exists to give academic clinicians the tools to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. Now, introducing your host, Teosi Onwemena. Welcome to the Clinician Researcher Podcast. I'm your host, Teosi Onwemena, and it is an absolute pleasure to be talking with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so glad to be back. And I say that because I've been gone for a few weeks. And in the last episode, I may have shared that it felt as if like so much was happening at the same time. I went through a stretch, and you may know the stretch, where I was on call, traveling for meetings, off on vacation, traveling for meetings, trying to catch up to email, trying to catch up to a lot of things, and having a lot of deadlines converging on the same time point. And it felt to some extent like things are spiraling out of control, but they weren't really spiraling. They were super busy. And there was just this sense of, okay, there's so much going on. What do I need to prioritize? And I think I talked about that, the importance of prioritizing things. So I feel like I've come through to pretty much kind of the end of that really busy season. And what's interesting is that our lives tend to be busy as long as we choose busy, right? But I wanted to share some learnings from this experience. I did. And I hope that you'll take some of this in and think about how does it apply to your own life as well. So the first thing I want to start with is just to share that I realized in this season how much in love I am with being busy. And that sounds funny because it's like, oh, I'm busy. And it's not that I'm not busy, but I realize that I am busy because I choose busy. I choose busyness. And what I realized in this season, I'll tell you that there are a couple of things that I did do that were quite consistent. So I stopped doing a lot of things. I wasn't even recording podcast episodes. But what I didn't do was give up on the things that I enjoy in hanging out with my family. For example, my daughter will come sometimes and interrupt my meeting time or my writing time. And I will always, and I've done that more consistently in this busy season, take time away to sit with her for as long as she wants to cuddle, for as long as she wants to hug. I'll take time away and do that. And even though I was busy, I took time to do that. I took time to have breakfast or to make breakfast for the children. I took time to go to games. And so busy, but it's 3 o'clock and it's like, okay, time to go for this basketball game. I leave everything. I'm like, I haven't caught up to email, but I would leave it and I would go do that. And one thing I realized is that I chose what aspects I would prioritize. And even though I'm in love with busyness, I realized that I made space for the things that really were important to me. And I got rid of everything else that felt like, okay, all these things need to be done, but what are the things that are absolute priorities? So I definitely realized that busyness is kind of like an excuse. I'm too busy. It's like, no, I'm not too busy to invest the time with these people that I love. I'm not too busy to go do the things that I know nourish me. I'm not too busy to make the investments I want to make in my family. So that's one thing that I realized, that, okay, the busyness is kind of like an excuse. I have time to prioritize all the things that are important to me. And as I prioritize the things that are important to me, I deprioritize a lot of other things. Okay. So the second thing is, yeah, I did prioritize my family, but I also prioritize my highest value work. I absolutely prioritize my highest value work. So in this season, if you go check my email inbox, it's overflowing right now. And literally now I'm in this thing. I'm always good about getting to inbox zero. And I have a prior episode talking about why and how to get to inbox zero. And I've been able to do that. But in the last 3 weeks, usually I'll, like, at least by the end of the week, I've gone to inbox zero, which means that I've processed emails, archived things that I've responded to, and then put things in the calendar that need to be addressed. So those are things I haven't done for the last few weeks now. And so, yes, inbox is overflowing. I'm at the point right now where I just, like, scroll through and say, oh, I see no important things there, or no things that are highest priority. Let me go focus. But one thing I have done is I prioritize my writing. So in the midst of things being busy, in the midst of me being continuing to make investments with family, I've prioritized my writing. And so what does that look like for me this week? It means that I worked on a grant, or at least I wrote a significant portion of a grant. I, like, finished things on, like, two major manuscripts that needed to go out. And I edited a manuscript that somebody else had invited me to participate in. And so, yes, busy. So, yes, so much going on. And I was able to accomplish the things that I wanted to, the things that were highest value, the things that were highest priority. And so, you know, one of the things that's helpful, and this may be point number three, is that when you feel like you're in crunch time, then your highest priorities become clear. And they become clear. Like, what do you prioritize? What do you prioritize? And, you know, I would say maybe me 3 years ago, my priority would have been emptying my inbox. I don't want people to be mad at me. I haven't responded to email. I haven't done all the things I'm supposed to. That would be my priority. Like, I don't want people to think I'm not working. And what's happened is this flip where it's like, yes, I would love to get to inbox zero because I like to. It means I've addressed things. And I recognize that in the season, what do I need to prioritize? And I recognize that my priority is doing my work. And by my work, I'm talking about my research and my writing that leads me forward. Because, hey, when I submit that grant, great. That's an opportunity for me to invest in my future, whether it's that the grant is funded and money comes in to support the research program, or that I've clarified some ideas that I'm going to use in the next grant or in the next talk or the next publication. And so all the work I'm doing moves me forward. And so, yes, a lot of things didn't happen, but the things that did happen were the things I wanted to happen and were the things that were highest priority for me. All right. The other thing I want to share is that I got rest. One of the things I've realized and that I've been doing over the past few years of being in academics is that I have prioritized, like, you know, when I feel like I don't have enough time, I've cut down to the margins of my life, right? So I'm like, you know what? I don't have enough time. I'm gonna like skimp on sleep. I'm gonna not sleep so that I can get this work done. And I will say that this is not like my most rested time ever. In fact, actually, I'm still somewhat sleep deprived. But what I have done is say, you know what? It's 3 p.m. It's time to go to the basketball game because I've made a commitment to be there and I enjoy being there. But I'm not going to come back after the basketball and do work, right? And so I've prioritized rest in this season. I haven't necessarily gotten as much sleep as I want to, but I've said, okay, I've gotten to as much output as I'm going to get for myself in this moment or that I want to give. And I've said, okay, I'm just going to take off the rest of the day. Now, because my life is multifaceted and I have a lot of other responsibilities, I don't finish work at 3 and say, oh, well, all of work is done, right? Because there's still the work of investing in my family and, you know, doing the things that are needed to get from one place to the other or to make things happen. But it's been good to say, there's a lot of work still happening here and I'm going to pause and I'm going to resume tomorrow. And that's been really, really good. Another thing that I've had the opportunity to do is to continue to rest in reflection and meditation and prayer. And that has been so nourishing to my spirit. Oh, it's been so nourishing to the inner me, right? There's some things that nourish you where they don't necessarily nourish your mind, though they do that because I'm writing, I'm reflecting. So my mind is expanding. But it also is just me resting and reflecting and allowing me to be nourished in a way that's very deep and meaningful. So, okay, it's not food, right? It's not me spending time with family. It's me spending time with me. It's me spending time like reflecting on just the vastness of my experience and my role and why I've come to play the role that I've come to play and what's important and what I'm doing. It's just the bigger reflection on life, right? It's a spiritual investment. And I've done that. I'm like, yeah, I have this amount of time to get this amount of work done, but I'm going to start the day praying and reflecting and just setting my intention for the day. And so that's something that didn't change in this season. What are the things that I did let go of? I've already talked about email, talked about expectations of when I should respond or not respond. I've let go of worrying about what people are thinking. Just, there's no time to worry. So I share all this to say that it is important to recognize your seasons of life, and the seasons come and go. And as physicians, especially as clinicians who are working to move research forward in a huge way, the reality is that we're making trade-offs and we're making investments and we're working hard to make things happen. But when it comes down to it, as we come to these seasons that maybe feel hyper busy relative to other seasons, it really begs the question, what is my highest priority? And it's a question I want you to ask. Yes, you're a clinician. Taking care of patients is so important. And yes, you're a researcher and you're growing a research program. And yes, you are a person who has a family that you need to take care of. And yes, you have other priorities. But what are your highest priorities? What are your highest value things that you do that if you didn't do, wouldn't get done? If you didn't do, would just languish for a long time, right? And so recognizing in every sphere of our lives, what are our highest value priorities is so important. And so I'll talk to you about the journey that I'm on right now, even as I'm continuing to move my research and my writing forward. The journey that I'm on right now is to clarify for myself what matters most in this space. For example, I'm going to be meeting with a faculty member who's on the promotions and tenure committee and talking about, okay, as I'm moving to my next level of promotion, what is valued the most? And really take a step back and look at how does it align with what I value? And how do we make that move forward as I move my career forward, as I move my research forward, and as I move my writing forward, as I move my life forward, right? Because I don't have a career that's in a vacuum. How do I make sure that my priorities are aligned so that I do the things that have the highest value? And there are things that will drop, but it'll be the things that are not the highest priority for sure. So I want to first of all say thank you for coming back to listen. Thank you for giving me grace, even in the season. Thank you for sharing with me your thoughts about how you handle periods that feel exceptionally busy. And for you, that may mean grant writing when it comes down to the deadline, or it may mean other things in life that kind of come and feel like they upend the general order of things. How are you managing that as well? All right. I want to acknowledge that we are in a season of the holidays, and I want to just say, as you get rest, as you take time off, it's a good time to reflect and say, who am I? Where do I want to go? How will I get there? What are the things I need to let go of? And I just want to encourage you to use this as a time of rest and reflection as you move forward. All right. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope you'll share this episode with someone who may benefit from it. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you later on the Clinician Researcher Podcast.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Clinician Researcher Podcast, where academic clinicians learn the skills to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. If you found the information in this episode to be helpful, don't keep it all to yourself. Someone else needs to hear it. So take a minute right now and share it. As you share this episode, you become part of our mission to help launch a new generation of clinician researchers who make transformative discoveries that change the way we do healthcare.